Lord, we love you, Lord. It's just awesome to be in contact with you, not only in contact, but just a personal time with you. Thank you, Lord, for guiding us tonight, leading us to do the things that you want us to do. Lord, bring up a subject that we all can participate in, ask questions about, and give answers about. We thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit's going to guide us in that way. Lord, we lift up President Trump and his cabinet to you. We thank you, Lord, for giving them wisdom and wisdom into the things and how you want him to go, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for your protection upon him also. And Father, we thank you for your people that are praying for your chosen out there, that when this great shaking comes, and it looks like it's right on the verge of it, that your people will come out of those apostate churches seeking the truth, and your people will have it, and they'll go right to it, Lord. We'll guide them right to it. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the things that you've told us that you want us to do. And we ask and we pray, Father, that you help us to fulfill those things. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that everything we do is toward your kingdom. Not for us, but for your kingdom. And we praise you for putting that in us, Lord. You know, I know sometimes, Lord, we kind of get sidetracked a little bit, but you always bring us back. You always get us back on the road. And I praise you for it, Lord. I thank you tonight, Lord, is going to be an awesome time with you. And thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Does anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Missy.
Well, I have a prayer request, actually two prayer requests and a praise report. I'd like to pray for my daughter-in-law and my son, Brooke and Kurt, for any that didn't hear. Brooke had a miscarriage. They found out yesterday when they went and did an ultrasound. And she had her crying and all. And when I talked to her, she was pretty good. And she knows that the Lord had a reason for this. So she's going to have a, well, she's getting that DNC tomorrow. And so I want to pray for them concerning that. Father, I just praise you and thank you, Lord, that everything's for you and there's a reason, even though we don't understand sometimes. And Brooke and Kurt understand that, and they know that maybe something was wrong with the baby and this is a blessing or whatever it is, Lord, it's all in your hands, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, for the procedure tomorrow. That it goes smoothly and everything go well with it and no side effects from it, in Jesus' name. And I just pray blessings upon Kurt and Brooke, and that they would be able to Brooke would be able to get pregnant quickly again, in Jesus' name. And I just praise you and thank you for doing that. And praise report is Alex got his driver's license.
Yay.
And yesterday passed his test. And then thank you, Lord, for that. And I like prayer. I have this sinus thing going on the right side of my face. And drainage and sinus headache, and I'd like some prayer for that, if I could.
I got tangled up in my telephone head thing. Yeah. Yeah. We pray for you. Lord, we just lift up Misty to you. We thank you, Father, for giving her bold faith. Lord, you've given us the authority over all of these things. We come against these sinus problems, and we command them to go from her. We command the sinuses to drain. We command all the symptoms to leave in Jesus' name. Amen. We praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. We command any headaches to go in the name of Jesus. Any kind of muscle aches to go in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just thank you that she's healed in Jesus' name. You believe that?
Amen. I'm
Amen.
Healed, Lord.
Amen. Yes, you are.
I am healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
So you're going to buy Alex a Corvette now?
Ha ha. Now that would be my son, Kurt. He actually has a Corvette, an 84 Corvette, like a baby blue metallic. He got some inheritance money from his grandmother years ago. Actually, his great grandmother, and it ate a hole in his pocket. Now it's sitting in the garage. He hasn't driven it for a while. Because I think he let the insurance go on it. But yeah, he's the Corvette kid. No, actually, my Corolla, we're giving that to Alex. So, yeah, so today was his first day driving by himself to work and back. So, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Hello, Michael.
Go ahead, Gail.
I was muted.
Oh, okay. I would like to pray for, Tracy has a friend who just had a double knee replacement, and she's experiencing quite a bit of difficulty with this, so I would just like to lift her friend up in prayer.
Okay.
Father, I just lift up Elsie to you. I thank you, Father, for being with her. And we just command that pain to go in the name of Jesus. And we rebuke any infection that may want to come in. And I also pray that she would be able to move her knees so that they do not freeze up. We just thank you, Father, for what you're going to work in her. I do believe that she is a believer. And I just thank you, Father, that through this miracle that it will draw her even closer to you and her family also. And just thank you, Father, for healing her and helping her to overcome. And I would also like to lift up Tracy in prayer. She's going through a difficult time. And Father, I just lift up Tracy's neighbors to you, and I pray that you would draw them to yourself, that you would save them, that their hearts would be changed, that they would show respect. And I also pray for their dogs. I just command those dogs to quit barking. Father, just take that ability away from them, that they cannot bark and disturb Tracy's sleep. And I thank you, Father, for giving Tracy patience and giving her peace and rest in you, knowing that you're sovereign, you're in control, and you can change this situation. There's probably nothing she could do, but you can. And I thank you, Father, for what you're going to work in this situation. I thank you, and I give you praise and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Missy, I want to tell you something that I read inside the gates of heaven. And it's about the children that are miscarried. When they go into heaven, they go as a beam of light or a wisp of smoke is what they call it, but it's real light. And an angel takes it up to the throne of God. Takes it up to the, yeah. Takes it up. Oh, you already read that part? Well, he takes it up to the throne of God, lays it at the feet of the Lord, and the Lord blows breath into it, and the baby comes alive, and comes alive to be looking like it's about 4 months old. And then he puts it in a class, you know, of other babies. It's an awesome thing. Really is.
I had already told her, because he had told me this, that Mary Baxter, when she went to heaven, told her that when you have a miscarriage or your baby dies or something like that, that when you go to heaven, you get to raise it then. You get to take care of it and raise it. So I told her that. I thought of that after I talked to her, and I called her back and I told her, and I think that encouraged her. But you know, she was doing a lot better when Kurt first called me and told me. I wasn't surprised, because actually, a day or two before that, I thought it was just the enemy, you know, telling me this, but I realize now it was the Lord telling me that she had a miscarriage. So I was like praying against it, and I never asked the Lord if that was really him. And I thought, well, you know, Lord, it, you know, if this was the Lord, he could reverse it too, you know, or whatever. You know, sometimes, you know, with God, there is no time. So, but anyway, so I told Kurt, you know, that the Lord had told me that, and I didn't realize it was the Lord. I thought it was just the enemy trying to bring in, you know, doubt about stuff, you know, concerning the baby or whatever. But he told me that he says, when you talk to her, she might cry. He said she'll probably cry. She said she really cried when she told her mom and dad. And when he told me that, I started welling up. I said, I'll probably cry. But she didn't. She was doing a lot better then. And when I talked to him again later in the day, he said that she's doing really good now. She just had to cry it out. And I'm sure he didn't say, but I'm sure he probably cried a little bit with her too. You know, guys don't seem to cry as much as the girls do. But anyway, so my heart goes out to him, and all in the Lord's timing. So.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Debbie. Where'd she go?
I got a pillow. Might open. Yeah, I wanted to share a couple of prayer requests and a testimony. One I shared with on a blog from our daughter, Kimberly. She went into the hospital to the emergency room yesterday with very high blood sugar. They found it was over 400, and her white blood count was really high. She was at work and started feeling really dizzy and just not right at all. She called her doctor. They told her to go to ER. So they couldn't find any problem. We were praying right away. They couldn't find any reason for the high white blood counts. And she had told him that she'd had a bad cough a few days. They had just gotten over a really bad cough. And he said probably that's what they're lingering there from, was that. But they kept her in there until it went down to 275 for blood sugar, and let her go home late last evening. She sees the doctor again on Monday. And I just want to keep praying for her about this, and that God will use it and open her eyes to just pray to God and cry out to him and acknowledge she needs his help, and through that to keep going and just realize that she's so far from him and repent. So and David, our son-in-law, her husband. They both turned so together. I'm going to pray for her first. So, Lord, just pray for Kim, Lord God. I thank you for what you're doing in her life, Lord, that you love her, God, and that you hear our prayers for our children and all that we pray for, Lord God. I just pray, Lord, that you will cause her to cry out to you, Lord, and don't let anything, just use what you have to do, Father, to cause her to turn to you, to look at you, Father, and just to confess her sins and confess her wandering away from you, Lord, and putting the world before you, Father. Help her to repent, Lord. I just pray, Lord. I just pray that it not be another thing where it gets better again and she just goes on as usual. She's had so many of these incidents, Lord. I just pray you begin to use something. Use this one, Lord. Use this one to cause her to turn to you and to put her focus back again on you, Lord, and want to be right with you and get into your word, Lord. And for David, too, Lord, you cause him to realize, God, that he needs to be the Christian leadership of that home, Lord, and they too repent, Father, just allowing the world into their lives, Lord. I just pray you save them, God, bring them back to you, Lord, and then begin to heal Kim's body of all these things that she's gone through, Lord, is dealing with in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, you're going to answer this prayer, Father. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We hook our faith up with Devin. Believe it's happening. Even as we speak, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. And
I saw a prayer request. My cousin has on Facebook, she has a prayer thing going. She's very faithful at it. She's been quite a few years now, and just sending prayers. And one that really struck me hard today that I prayed for was someone's friend's mother, and this mother is a Christian, but this woman has shingles really bad on her face and her head and even into her eyes, and they want to do chemotherapy on her. So I just want to really pray for this woman. So I prayed for her over on the thing, but I want to share that we all agree together that she won't need that chemotherapy. And so Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would just touch this woman, Lord, that you would just bring her the revelation, Father, that by your stripes she was healed, God. I pray that you do such a work, Father, that they won't need to do that chemotherapy on her, Lord, which even is more than good, I think, Lord. I just pray that you would touch and heal her, Lord, that you'd be glorified in this, Lord, in Jesus' name, and that she would come closer to you, Father, and have a greater revelation of her salvation, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. And then,
I had one share testimony today. I wasn't feeling good today, and so later on in the day, I started eating something, a salad, and so I better eat something. So I pull out these mushrooms. They looked kind of, mushrooms. So I kind of prayed over them, blessed them, and put them in my salad anyway, because I really wanted mushrooms in my salad. So I ate most of that, and then later on, well, maybe a couple hours, hour and a half later, I started really feeling sick. I mean, I was just, it was starting in this queasiness in my stomach, a dizziness coming on me, and I was feeling it in my head. I thought, is this a migraine coming on? I haven't had a migraine in so long. God's taking those migraines away. But that's how they kind of felt. So then I thought about those mushrooms. And I said, Lord, I asked you to bless those mushrooms, though. So, and besides that, you said that, and we can eat any deadly thing, and it will not hurt us. So I continue to bless those mushrooms to my body, and I rebuke this, and I just command it to go. And, you know, I just immediately just felt it fading away, went away. And as soon as I sat down here for the conference call, I had this dizziness come on me. I rebuked that, so that's gone now. But I think the enemy is just wanting to harass and bring me under. And I just give him glory for that. And so,
well, thank you, Lord, for your healing power. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. We do have everything that we eat blessed. In the name of Jesus. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah. I got a couple of prayer requests. First one, back home, flag fire warning up. For this weekend, lightning and big, very dry up there right now. And so we're praying for like you all to join us and pray on for the guy that's up at our old place. It's a one way in, one way out situation, and fires are always a big scare up there. And he really doesn't have the Lord. I've been working on him as much as I can, trying to get him, you know, into belief and stuff. But so anyways, I'd like to pray against any lightning caused or man caused or whatever caused fires in the Spokane area and the whole Northwest really this weekend, Lord. You can prevent that and give them rain instead of dry lightning, and protect those that you would protect with, you know, supernatural protection on your creation. And the other thing is that Gainel's daughter, he's got neighbor issues. We dealt with these people for quite a while, and I thought maybe that they were just mad at us, and when we left, it would all go away, but apparently he's having real trouble with them. So I'd like to pray for the Hooper family, that the Lord would make a move in them, let them see that they need to come to him and be drawn in and give up their worldly, selfish ways, and that there's more to this life than just looking out for number one, and to be decent people, and like Gainel said, respect other people's rights, and Lord, draw them, show them the light, let them know that the way they're behaving and treating people is wrong, and I prayed for them myself, and it's I've forgiven them for what they've done, but as we discussed in the meeting, forgiveness is personal, and their behavior has. So I just pray that the Lord would work on them for Carl. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. In the name of Jesus.
Oh, one more quick thing.
Yeah.
Tasha's got a back and forth sinus problem. I think she's been hanging out with Missy or something. But anyway, so I would pray for Tasha. It already did between us, but she wants you guys to join us.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord, for healing Tasha. She's already been healed by you 2,000 years ago, and we are just claiming that and standing in faith for it. So, thank you, Lord.
Amen. We command those nasal passages to dry up in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise you, Father, for her healing. I'd like to pray for a friend of mine, good friend, Jim Coffey. I called him back in 97, 98, somewhere along in there. He was putting out advertisement on the radio for help to start a homeless shelter for men. And this was a man of great faith. And I called him up and I said, yeah, I'll help you. Where you at? He told me he was up in North Little Rock, up on Broadway. And I went up there and I get out of the truck and I look at this shack. I'm talking about a shack. I mean, a run down. It's a big place, but it was run down. It looked like it just needed to be bulldozed in. And it went inside the thing, and there was big holes. So I'm not talking about just a board or two. I'm talking about holes, boy, all up in the floor. And I met Coffee, and I said, why don't you just bulldoze it down and start over? He said, oh, no. I said, look, this is where this is going to be. The kitchen's going to be over there. I'm going to have the men's quarters over here, and this is going to be that. That's going to be that. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know. And I said, you're kidding. He said, yeah, you watch and see. I said, okay. Anyway, he made it a homeless shelter, and it was a nice one. And he used the men to help do it. And he has, over the years, he has started 16 of these men's shelters, homeless men's shelters. But now he's kind of somewhat semi-retired, living up in the hills of Arkansas. I talked to him the other day, and he's having a tough battle with shingles. He said, I never heard of them before until I got them. He said, this stuff is driving me nuts. And so I'd like to pray for him, and we're going to believe with him that he's healed. In the name of Jesus, Father, we just lift up Jim to you, Lord. He has done a lot of work in your kingdom for the homeless people, and he's brought some to Christ and a lot of people to Christ. He's helped a lot of men, and I'm just thanking you, Father, that you're going to put that great and bold faith back in to believe, Lord. And I just command that spirit of shingles to leave his body right now in Jesus' name. The spirit of infirmity, you go from him in Jesus' name. And I command all the symptoms to leave with it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you that Jim Coffey is healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all believe that with me? Thank you, Lord, that Jim is free of that. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
I could use a little prayer myself. These last few weeks here, well, I mean, especially last Sundays and the last Sunday before that, I would say the last month or so, you know, the revelations, you know, just the teachings, the Bible studies have really been speaking to me, or, you know, really, I mean, pretty, you know, convicting, but especially the last Sundays. You know, and for those who were here at the Pot Blessing, that, you know, that's basically the revelation, you know, the local group God, and I was there, about the times we're in. But I think the one that, Dave, you brought up, the Lord was sharing with you, and then David brought it about the law and, you know, the New Testament covenants. And it's somehow God likes to, you know, I guess, give him these, what seem like random thoughts at times, but, you know, with David, he'll just bring something up, and it doesn't necessarily, you know, I mean, seem like it goes with the whole of the message, but he tends to throw certain things out there, and that's how the Lord really speaks to me. And he said something during that two Sundays ago about, you know, towards the end, it was talking about just basically, you know, the, I guess when they say, you know, well, I'm a sinner saved by grace, you know, the concept of greasy grace, you know, just that, I mean, it stems from that once saved, always saved doctrine. And I felt, I mean, you know, I guess I had to kind of come to terms with it, you know, because I guess in the back of my mind, I always thought about it, but I just brushed it aside. You know, I want to confess, I still kind of hold it out a bit, you know, I guess. And it stems, there might be something deeper there, but, you know, that's one thing that really spoke to me, and it just kind of hit me. I mean, my attitude concerning some of those sins or those things I still battle with, you know, I don't have a godly attitude about those things of, like, you know, quitting sins or really, really fighting against them, you know, and coming against them. You know, I guess I just assume, well, God will forgive me, or, you know, his grace is sufficient, you know, so it's okay. I can mess up because he'll be graceful towards me. And that's, you know, I'm realizing the more I mess up, no, that's not true, you know, and he'll keep disciplining you. But I think that, you know, there's a time I'm realizing, no, he won't do it, you know, because you won't stop, you know, so he will eventually, you know, cut you off. And I don't, you know, yeah, I mean, that's a fearful thing when you think about it. But that's one thing. But I think the other really for me is something, Gainald, you said, I think it was Sunday when you shared the words you got, you know, and you kind of had a little message there about how, you know, there'll be people who tend to, I guess, rely too much on others. And, you know, I guess, I forget exactly what you said, but, you know, that really spoke to me. You know, that's another thing. And it kind of just dawned on me, this goes way back to my childhood. You know, I've dealt with those, you know, had a mother with the Jezebel spirit, very, very strong one. And, you know, the Ahab spirits were in me. So with, you know, for those who know, with Jezebel and Ahab, she basically runs things. He's submissive, you know, as an Ahab and Jezebel. So I see this, there's still to this day in my life, you know, this struggle, there's an over-dependence on others, you know, and I think I'm realizing where we're at, you know, how close we are to things. And, you know, I think more and more I'm realizing that, hey, yes, there's, you know, we have a part in things, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with depending on others for prayer, you know, for help. But we have a part, you know, we have to do our part most of all. And I think a lot of times I neglect that because I think, oh, well, I've got others, you know, or, you know, others can do it for me, whatever it is, you know. And so I think I have that over-dependence because a lot of times as a child, And I remember a teenager, you know, I would rely on my mom heavily. You know, she was more involved, I guess, you know, I'd say, than my dad. Or I would rely on others to do stuff for me, you know, thank for me, all that stuff, you know. And I was never really taught, okay, there comes a point in your life where you do it yourself. You know, you've got to become responsible and you've got to do these things on your own. And it never really clicked with me, you know, in these later years. So I think that's, and you know, I don't want that to be an issue to where it's like, hey, you know, I'm relying on others for me spiritually. And yeah, it's, I mean, in these times ahead, no, we're going to all have to learn how ourselves to get a hold of God, you know, and to hear from God and to do what he calls us to, you know. We'll have others to help us, but ultimately it's our responsibility. So I want to confess that that's something God really, you know, revealed to me, and I felt pretty convicted. And I want prayer for those things. God, changed my attitude, helped me to realize, you know, I have a responsibility, and not to heavily depend too much on others, and to have that godly attitude that, hey, you know, about my sin, about God's grace, and not to abuse it. So yeah, I could use some prayer in those areas.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. There comes a time, Joe, that we all have to grow up in the Lord, and he expects us to do the praying. But you're right. You know, he doesn't mind you calling somebody and helping out of time. But for the most part, he wants us all to pray and believe for ourselves and for other people as well. Well, Father, we just ask that for Joe. We ask, Father, that you place it in him to have a servant's heart. And Lord, we also ask and we pray that you place it in him to love everybody and to love you, Lord, beyond any and everything. And to love you, Lord, is to obey your scriptures. And Father, we praise you for that. We thank you for it, Lord. We ask that you build him up in the Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill him up and guide him daily. And place a hunger in him for the Word of God to get into that. And not only that, Lord, to listen, to just stop and listen in the mornings when he gets up to you, Lord, because you have instructions for us every day. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're maturing Joe in a great and mighty way. And we thank you, Father, that he will grasp the job that he has and the job that all of us have, and that's to be a servant to man. And Father, we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Joe and his maturity in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, Dave.
You know, when we're dealing with the flesh, I mean, we all have to be aware of who our old man is. Everybody's got an old man that they have to be familiar with. So, and we understand what this old man's all about. At the same time, we have to realize we do have a new man inside of us. And that new man doesn't agree with the old man. Now, we've heard that story David tells us about, who are you going to feed, the white dog or the black dog? Who's going to win, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we're expected to lean upon our Lord and Savior to help us defeat that black dog. You know, God made that enemy hard to beat. And he gave us an enemy that was bigger than us, the giants. And he did that for a reason, because he wants us to know that he's our Savior. He wants us to know, like, we don't do this without coming to him in weakness and knowing that it's his strength helps us overcome this. And if we come out with that sincere heart, that's what we desire. That old man, we know that new man in Christ does not agree with this old man in any way. It doesn't want to be associated, doesn't want any part of that anymore, but still falls once in a while because that old man still can stir it up inside of us. Mm-hmm. As long as we're not trying to run away from the gospel and run away from the truth and giving in to the old man to the point that this is really why I want to be. My heart's desire is to run after the old man. Yeah. If your heart's desire is to run with the new man and be in holiness and righteousness and truth, God's on your side. He really is. And he's going to help you kill that old man. But our faith is to give him the faith to do it. Mm-hmm. And not draw back and say, it'll never happen. No, we just say, you know what? This old man still has a little kick in him, but I know the old Lord, my Lord and Savior, is going to put an end to this. And I'm going to put my faith in that. So don't ever think that, hey, it's done, it's over, I'm losing it. That's what the old man wants you to believe too. That's what Satan would love to get you in that battle where you can't win. You think, ah, it's over. You know, your condemnation took in and came over and it took away your grace. It took away your faith and took away your grace. That condemnation will do it every time. Don't let condemnation walk in there. You know, we're saved by faith through grace, and it's not of ourselves. It's a gift. When we decide it's finally a gift and not something I have to earn, I'm going to just take it by faith and receive it and let God work out the details. Then we're walking by faith and grace for his salvation. We don't get anything outside of that. From healings to deliverances to overcoming sin to walking in newness in Christ to seeing Christ in the mirror, we're not going to receive it by anything we do. And because we screw up along the way, that's why we got a Savior, and that's why we have his grace. And he reminds me of the day I think too, oh, wow, I just don't want to look at the word today. I know it's going to be convicting. My mind wasn't where I needed it to be for some reason. For a short time I caught it, but still my heart was kind of, and I gathered it back. And you're thinking you kind of faltered. And the Lord's right there with his grace to let you know, you're my son. I got you. I got you. He's saying, I'm not going to let go. So we're not going to let Satan or the flesh draw us down into this. No way. We're victors in Christ. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Joe. Thank you for all of us for coming together and realizing we can come together and talk about what's not right in our lives, but you are our Savior. You've got our backs. And you're going to fight this battle and see it won to the end. And we got a bigger enemy coming in yet. We're talking about the end times. But it's all because it's bringing our flesh to death. It's bringing this newness in Christ. It's allowing us to see the victory we have in you. And we're going to have others come in and see this victory also. Thank you, Father, for being so faithful and having our backs and standing us upright and calling us sons of the living God. We praise you, God, for this thing. We know it's something that's just, and it's all free because you love us. And we accept that love. We accept that gift from. Thank you in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Okay. Did I see your hand up, Barry? Okay. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I'd like to lift my dad up in prayer. He's going into surgery on the 15th for a herniated disc in his back. So, Lord, I'm just praying that you'll be with my dad, Lord, that you'll be with the surgeons, Lord, that you'll guide them, Father. And, Lord, I just thank you for keeping watch over my dad, Lord, and I thank you for all the good works that you're going to do in my dad. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we just believe with Matt that's happening in Jesus' name. All right, anyone else? Another cool story about Jim Coffey. He had a homeless shelter for men in Memphis. And the cook came in there and told him one day, he said, Brother Jim, he said, we're out of food. We ain't got nothing. He said, we're out of money. We can't buy anything. So what are we going to do? We got all these men to feed. He said, well, come in here and let's pray. And so they prayed and they believed God. He's a man of faith. And that afternoon, a drug dealer from off the street run into this place there, threw a wad of $100 bills on the table and said, "I can't live unless I do that," and back out the door he ran. He said, "It's driving me nuts." He threw $600 on the table for him to go get some food. That's the God we serve. Praise the Lord.
What was that one guy, that one guy had the orphanage in England? It's a real similar story, that they didn't have any food.
Oh, that had to have been
George Mueller.
George Mueller, yeah.
Did the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
He had them all sat down at the table. They had nothing. Nothing. He said, "Well, we're going to pray and thank God for this, for the breakfast we're going to have." They started praying and thanking the Lord and hit her knock at the door. Well, it was a bread man. His truck broke down. He had all his bread. You know, they can't, you know.
I remember that.
Bring the bread in, give it to the kids. Right after that, within the minutes later, start to thank the Lord and the knock, knock, knock. There's a door. They go, "The milkman's got the same problem." They bring in all the milk, and so the kids got bread and milk, you know.
Milk toast, all right. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Yeah, you know, George Mueller wrote down, when he prayed for something, he'd write it down in his book. And then he'd write down when he got it answered. And that's the reason people understand about George Mueller. And he had great and bold faith, too. All right. Anybody else? That's the way we are, folks. That's the way we are. We got great and bold faith, too. We believe when we pray, it happens. And it happens. I'm talking about this group right here. Not let alone this group back here. We pray here and things happen. But right here, we do the same thing. We get prayers answered all the time. Thank you, Father. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
I'd like to share something I got this morning, if I could. And it's directly related to what David's been sharing here lately. I asked the Lord for, once in a while, I'll ask the Lord, you know, for a word of encouragement or correction, whatever I need. And he gave me Psalm 65:5, and I landed right on the beginning of this verse. "By terrible things thou wilt answer us in righteousness. O God of our salvation, thou art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea." But that whole psalm is good. But anyway, what I saw there, "By terrible things thou wilt answer us in righteousness." And right away, what the Lord showed me, what he was saying was that these things that are coming, judgments, things that the Lord's using through the deep state and everything, is going to bring repentance. He's saying, you know, that all these people that you've been praying for, you know, and waiting for the Lord to move in their hearts, he's saying that he's going to use these judgments. he's saying, don't be discouraged. Don't lose hope. You're not seeing anything yet. You know, he says it's coming. It's coming. But that whole, and then what also came to my mind was, we've heard David share this lately, Isaiah 26:8-10. And a cross reference to that was, let me read that first, Isaiah 26:8-10. "Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. To thy name, even to thy memorial name, is the desire of our soul. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee earnestly. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal wrongfully, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. I was like, wow. You know, we've heard David say, quote the part, for when the judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. But, I mean, I don't recall that verse 10 before him sharing that. He probably has, but it didn't stick out to me until I just read it earlier today. And then another one that, a cross-reference to that, is Hosea 5:15, which is really good. But then it goes into 6:1, and that's the clincher.
What book?
Hosea 5:15. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me earnestly. Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. On the third day will he raise us up, and we shall live before him. And let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is sure as the morning, and he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. Amen. But I was just like, I was really encouraged with all that, you know. And so it's just like, you know, that's what the Lord gave me. And I just want to say, y'all be encouraged, because we're going to see our prayers for a lot of people be answered before too long. And, you know, we just praise you and thank you, Lord. You know, you discipline those whom you love, Lord. And this is a discipline. You're going to use these things, Lord, by the deep state, natural disasters, all these different things. It's a discipline. It's to put the fear of God. Fear of God is beginning of wisdom, Lord. You're going to put the fear of God in many of your, in all of your elect, I believe, Lord. And the wicked are just going to continue on being wicked, Lord. And I just praise you and thank you for choosing each and every one of us, Lord. Before the foundation of the world, Lord, before the foundation of the world, everything was before the foundation of the world, Lord. You did everything before the foundation of the world, because when you spoke, it was all done. And with you, there is no time, Lord. You see the end from the beginning, Lord. And just remind us, Lord, of that. You see the end from the beginning and call the things that are not as though they were, and help us to speak according to that and have that mindset to see the end from the beginning, Lord, and to call the things that are not as though they were, Lord. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. We thank you for your mercy. Your judgment is mercy. It is your mercy, Lord. You take out the wicked that's been coming against your people, but you also bring your chosen, your elect, to repentance, Lord. And we just thank you. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. We know that it's happening. Go ahead, Dave.
You know, I said a quick prayer today about that in a way, too, but this is what I prayed to the Lord about this. You know, I knew, Lord, that he is going to, and I knew, I'm talking to Lord too, that he's going to bring about catastrophic situations and judgments or hard times on his country and on his people, on the wake the church up, to get them on target, on track, to start looking for him and answers and stuff. But I also asked the Lord, you know, when you do these things, you know, right now we're seeing some of the stuff happen now with, you know, the murders are getting going up, you know, El Paso and Dayton, and we know all the deep states behind it. These have been going on for a while, but the news media gets in there, and the feds, the FBI, and everybody, that cover everything up so well. I mean, I've seen an interview from the lady that was there in off of Florida's News, And she said she's seen three gunmen dressed in black walk in that El Paso Walmart, start shooting, but that didn't get reported. You know, this was my request from the Lord that, hey, you know, Lord, the wake the church up is have bad things happening, but also let them see the truth. Let's find out what's going on and know that there's an enemy out there that wants to destroy them now. Make them aware that, you know, Satan's after coming after them and he's doing this. And so there is real, a real life enemy that's on the warpath and Satan's behind it. Open them up and see that truth too. And see, this is an enemy that's coming, and it's a spiritual one behind these people while we're seeing all this weird, evil stuff going on. And we start seeing these judgments fall and know that these evil people are behind it, to let them see the evil that's in there and know that it's Satan, and he's using it to chastise his church to get them in line so they understand that too. And this no longer have this hidden, you know, by the news media. This starts coming out so people can, hey, understand the truth. That's my request. It's not just all these crazy things happening and then have the liberal media slant it and say, well, you got to get rid of your guns and you white people, white privileged people are crazy. And no, let them see what's really happening behind the scenes, why it's happening, so we can say, oh, we've got a satanic enemy coming after it. It wants to take your heads off. That's my request. Anyways, that was when I was saying that to the Lord. So they know this is a time. And it's not just some white people, but they know this is what's happening. They really got a real spiritual enemy that's coming out against them. Give them that awareness. And that was just my thought when I prayed to the Lord.
Amen. Yeah, Debbie, go ahead.
When Missy started sharing, and then they brought some stuff into it also, this is on my heart, just if we could just talk about it a minute. I don't know what we're going to really wind up talking about tonight, but even if it just takes a couple minutes. It's a scripture I got this morning. It's Ezekiel, through the whole chapter, 1 through 10, but I want to read from 4 to 10 and then share my questions I had on something I had on this, so we could see other people think about it. I'll read Ezekiel 2, 4 through 10. I am sending you to them who are stubborn and obstinate children, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, as for them, whether they listen or not, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, neither fear them nor fear their words. Those thistles and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions. Neither fear their words, nor be dismayed at their presence. For they are a rebellious house. But you shall speak my words to them, whether they listen or not, for they are rebellious. That was key to me. Now you, son of man, listen to what I am speaking to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I am giving you. Then I looked, and behold, a hand was extended to me. And lo, a scroll was in it. When he spread it out before me, it was written on the front and back, and written on it were lamentations, mourning, and woe. So my prayer with this was that, you know, I know the speaking of the rebellious house, the apostate church, and always speaking to Ezekiel as a prophet. But in verse 7, but you shall speak my words to them, whether they listen to you or not. They are rebellious. We have loved ones who really have turned, and so they walk in rebellion to the Lord. And I really want to know, you know, like we know that God's going to use these catastrophes to draw them and to turn them around, but how much of us, our part is in speaking to them and sharing them and giving them what's been put into us to say to them, and to not fear what they might even think. But there's so many lamentations and mourning and woe is going on out there. And I just wonder what people think about really how to go about sharing these things with your loved ones and people you know, and because, you know, a lot of our, my Christian, my family, they believe in the, they're going to go up with the rapture, you know, so they're not going to be here with all this stuff anyway. So do we just pray? We just sit and pray and say, Lord, use these judgments to show them and let them turn to you? Or can we warn them? Because we want them to enter into the Passover. We want them to come into that and come into Jesus. So I just had a question on how do we speak these things to them?
Well, I can tell you what I do. I tell them what's fixing to come. And you can do it by email, or you can tell it to them over the phone, or you can go there and, you know, if you're there with them, you can talk to them then. Here's the deal. Here's the real deal. Once you tell them, you start praying for them. And when the time comes, they're going to remember what you told them. Every one of them's going to remember what you told them because you're praying for them, and God's going to bring it back to their remembrance. And when all hell breaks loose, they're going to give you a call, and they're going to say, Denny, Debbie, remember when you told me such and such and so and so? What am I supposed to do now? I got dead people all around me, you know. What am I supposed to do? And then you tell them, well, the first thing you do is repent, ask God's forgiveness, and then start believing what the Word of God says. That's what I do.
Yes, amen. Yeah, verse 5 says whether they listen or not.
Makes, you know, no difference.
Tell them, yeah. I was glad that yesterday I had an opportunity to share with my sister. You know, you just, they're your family, and they're the ones who you don't really want to talk to. They just come back and you're like, who do you think you are? And so she was talking negatively about somebody, like father, like daughter. She made a comment like that, and you're saying that this person's going to be like her father. So I just, all I said was, no negativity. That's all I said. And then went on to saying, let's really be praying for this person. And she just came back with, quit trying to put the guilt trip on me. And, you know, that kind of a thing. So I was able to just explain there lovingly. I think it was really well. But I wasn't doing that. And I explained things about, well, I just talked about it. I can't tell you all I said. And it turned out really well in the end. And we were able to talk again about other things and still pray together through texting on it. So, but I just felt like something in me didn't want to say those things to her, you know. You know, it's somewhat a correction, you know, but an encouragement in the Lord, you know, be different. I mentioned the curses, speaking curses over people, and we can help remove these curses that are on people by our prayers and our faith and our good confession. And so she.
Danny muted you.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Attaboy, Denny, that's the way you do that.
Control that one.
That aside.
That's one way, brother. Go ahead. We didn't miss hardly any of it.
Okay. So I was explaining to her how, you know, we just don't want to put curses on people, and the curses that are on them, we want to help, you know, remove them through prayer, praying for them, and a good confession, not speak it like that's the way it's going to be. And but I think I said some good things that I know the Lord helped me just say. And then she didn't respond back on that specifically because I was talking to her, three of us, her and my other two sisters. My other sister, Joy, was okay. And because it had to do with her ex-husband passed away of cancer and it affected her two children who he never saw before or didn't have anything to do with. So that was, discussion was all about. And but it turned out good because in the end, things that Joy and I are saying, Becky's who is what I wanted to be speaking to, was saying, amen, you know, and, you know, and then we've been talking fine since and talked to her today. Everything's been really good. So I think I was really praying as I was talking to her. I think that's just an important thing to make sure we're praying and really speaking God's words and not just from our own feelings, but from the faith of what we believe in and what we know is true. So, I think we just have to have the heart to want to warn them. Like you said, Michael, they'll come back and say, what was that you told me to do?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't. Anyway, that was my question. I kind of knew my own answer, how I felt, but I wonder what other people thought about that.
Sure, yeah. Dave, did you have your hand up a while ago, or did you?
Oh, I did briefly, but you kind of did a good answer there. But you know, yeah, it's tough with relatives. I don't know if I jumped the gun. I did this years ago, and I got a little early on it, and they didn't want to hear it. But I didn't have the knowledge I do now either. But still, you know, if the Lord's putting it on your heart and you have that, you're driven on something, you know, it's like, if he comes on me, I mean, if it's going to be coming out, it's going to come out. You know, whatever I got to say. You know, it's all you can, it kind of helps to have the Lord there too. You know, he's the one guiding it in a way. But if it's on his mind, he wants us to say it, it's going to come out. I guarantee it.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that if we run into people in Walmart or somewhere or wherever we might be, and so many times it's come up, we used to just start talking to somebody about something. They start telling about their woes, and I think we need to be really more ready to speak, to use those opportunities to talk. And so just so important that we start telling them who, whether it's family or just strangers even.
I think the prayer is really good, and that helps prepare the way. It's probably really good that Michael backed up what he had to say with prayer. I think probably if you're going to be going into a public area, you feel led by the Lord to say something, I'd be praying before, you know, that he guide that that passion, that whatever he's driving you by the Holy Spirit to the right people.
Prayer.
That's all you can do.
Amen. Go ahead, Joe.
You guys kind of touched on it, but this came just to mind, and I thought this is perfect for your question there, Debbie. Or just and it's not, well, these verses don't really pertain to family members, but it's a perfect example, you know. And it kind of reminds me of when we all talked about how to witness to Roman Catholics. You know, we had all kinds of ideas, but in Matthew 10, 17, starting in 17, you know, 17 to 20, says, but 17, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Here's the thing. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. So I think the key is to pray. Yes, you know, absolutely. I mean, it's from my experience, I think I found, you know, we're like, well, you know, what should we say? You know, what kind of things should we talk about? You know, how should we tell them? I think it's, you know, pray that we'll be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, as he said, you know, if you know, when you're brought before judges, you know, councils, in those times when they come, you know, and they'll question you and they'll look at you, don't even worry about it. Just say, okay, you know, let me pray. Lord, give me the words to speak to these people. You know, and I mean, I've seen countless testimonies of just the Holy Spirit speaking through people. So just believe, you know, okay. Pray, Lord, when my family, you know, or send them my way. Like you said, Michael said, you know, I mean, they'll come to you and just say, Lord, give me the words to speak to them. You know, I mean, because it's easy to, you know, we want to think, well, what should I say? You know, let me sit here and rehearse this. Let me think about what I'll say. You know, okay, I'll talk about this and this. Just don't even worry about that. Just say, okay, Lord, give me an opportunity when the time comes. You know when the time will be. You set it up and just give me the words to speak to them. And I think that's so much more effective. I've had opportunities like that. And, you know, where the Lord just opens the door. Sometimes I do have to seek it out, but I think a lot of times that person comes to me and say, hey, I've got a question, or hey, what do you think about this? And he just starts, brings the things to mind. I start talking about it. And at times they're like, wow, I never thought about that. That's powerful. You know, I felt led to say something as we were having conversations. So, I mean, you know, at times it's good, but this, you know, all of a sudden someone will say something and I'll be like, oh, hey, I've been learning about that lately. And then I start this talking, you know, about it. And they're just like, wow, I've never thought about that. So, yeah. Yeah, I thought I'd interject there.
Okay. Anybody else? We have family members that it's hard to talk to. So if it's hard to talk to them, you know, send them an email. That's what I do. Because, you know, I've got a brother. I've got two brothers. The oldest one I can talk to, my older brother, it's like talking to a brick wall about the Lord because he's not interested. So what I do, I just send him emails and, you know, put in there what the Lord gives me to tell him. Because I know at the time, when the time comes, that he's going to do one of two things. He's going to repent and holler for the Lord. Or he's going to call me. And as far as having something to say, there's not but one thing to tell them when they call. What am I supposed to do? Repent and believe. That's what the Lord told us to do. Repent and believe. What is repent? Change what you're doing. Start doing what the Lord God told you to do in the Word of God. You have to get into the Word of God. You know, that's our job. And if they want to expound on a few things, well, what is salvation? You go on into it, you know. That's why God wants us ready for when the time comes. You have to be ready. You can't just slough off reading the Word of God or listening to good Bible studies. You can't do that because people's lives depend upon what you tell them when the time is right. If you just think that somebody else is going to do it all the time, what good are you, you know? What is your job? Every person in here's job is to serve mankind. And the only way that you can do that is to get close to the Lord and get in the Word of God to understand about the Lord Jesus and what he did for us. That's it. And that's why the Lord has picked his bride for when this thing happens. The bride is the ones that have overcome and are doing the things that they know that's right before the Lord. Okay. Anybody else? What do you think, Andrew?
You know, when you said that, I'm trying to think of all those times when in the Gospels when the Lord told us, was telling the public there to repent and believe, and how John the Baptist did the same thing. And, you know, it's all there. You know, we just have to do that, you know. You know, everybody has some sort of history in Christianity. All these different denominations, you know, they're told they have the Holy Spirit. You know, the Catholics will tell you that you get the Holy Spirit because they're going to light a candle at your baptism and you're going to have the Holy Spirit at that time. And you know, we have a House of Parliament here in Canada, and most of the people in that House of Parliament have this kind of background, you know, some sort of denomination. They all teach you're going to get the Holy Spirit or some sort of Spirit of God. And yet they have these laws that they came up with, you know, and, you know, abortion, you know, and other things, you know, they... Yeah, are they speaking by the Holy Spirit? Was Charles Darwin doing this in 1859? Was he speaking by the Holy Spirit with that evolution? You know, doesn't the Spirit and the Word agree? You know, how far have we come in the other direction? You know, and I was reading chapter 4. Hebrews. And they're all evangelized, but do they really hear it? You know, like if I was to go and ask those very same people in the House of Parliament who passed these laws, or to the judicial system, just 15 minutes before they were going to do it, they would have said, well, we know it's against the church and it's against God. Well, how do you justify saying that you have this Holy Spirit, or you got it so far back in your lifetime when you were a baby and you didn't even know what was going on, and yet you do this? You know, and if you read those verses there, it actually, you know, it's not a manifestation. It's a manifestation in the other direction, for darkness. And not for light. So, you know, there's a lot of ways you can approach this, you know. I just try to think of how can these people actually say they got this when they don't? You know, the 1 John 5:8, you know, the Spirit and the Word agree. And so that's what I sometimes think of, you know. And I go, it's too bad they can't go back and say, well, wait a minute. You know, he's speaking some common sense here, you know. He's showing you that what you thought you had all your life is really not there. And when you think back to what you used to be, you know, and you go, well, I was there too, you know, I was in that kind of setting. And you know, there are some people who are angry because you would have left their denomination, or you try to explain to them these things. You go, well, you know, if Christianity was supposed to go the way it was supposed to go, there would have been no war in Europe from Portugal all the way across to the Pacific, because it would have went right through Russia. By the way, the Russians, you know what they do for baptizing their little babies? They dunk them under the water really quick in that Orthodox church. And, you know, and they must have some sort of celebration too, some sort of man's celebration for having the Holy Spirit there too. But, you know, there would have been no war from Portugal, that's from the Atlantic all the way to the Pacific and the whole Northern Hemisphere, you know. There would have been no war from Norway all the way down to Sicily. There would be no war from the tip of Chile and Argentina all the way up to Northern Canada and all Americas. There would have been no war in all those colonies where all those Europeans went. So what are they trying to show us here? What are they trying to tell us? All these people were Holy Spirit filled people. But how many Indians did they kill in this continent? You know, there's just two different sides here. You know, every nation, you know, lots of nations had their heyday when there were big nations, you know, and then they came to absolutely nothing after that, you know. Like Italy used to be the ruler of the Mediterranean. What's it now? You know, they didn't have this Holy Spirit. Now, some of them tried, you know, the best they could. And through time, you can see some things going, whoa, that guy had something there. But, you know, that was like 1,000 years ago, you know, and it never seemed to accumulate to the other people that way. So I just look at things like I'm trying to study some history about where was God in the past 2,000 years for all these nations that they used to call before the Second World War Christian nations? You know, and where is it now? Was it ever? You know, and well, that's you know, like, who are they trying to fool? You know, like is this not Mystery Babylon? Anyway, you just go through all those things in history where everything rotten. Like, I was just reading something about Christopher Columbus there, and I didn't know he was such a violent person to the natives. And it's all hidden from the public, you know. And I mean, even America and Canada went at it, what it was, 36 years after your independence in the War of 1812. And, you know, that would have been England against America, and that would have been what you would, what the Catholics would have referred to as a Protestant war. And anyway, that's you know, you tend to think that everything's so rosy, but you how do you do that without stepping on someone's toes, you know? Like, especially like some of the military types that are out there, and some of the patriotic types from different nations and stuff. I remember giving my dad a Bible in his language that he knew the best, which was Polish. And he used to be an officer in the Second World War, and I said to him, in broken Polish, those are your orders now. You used to get orders from your superior officer, now those are your orders. You know. And he kind of giggled a bit and laughed. And anyways, that's all I have to say on the subject.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Okay, you know what else?
I was just thinking briefly about what Andrew said, and he, you know, he said, where was God in this? And I get that, I really do, but, you know, I know Andrew, if you read, did you read Proverbs today? On Proverbs 8? You were reading them every day. You would read, like, a proverb, whatever day it was, you'd read that day. I don't know if you read 8 today. I just thought for the heck of it, I'd read it. And Proverbs 8:17 said, I love those that love me. And then, you know, this is Jesus talking, and it could be the Father. Those who seek me diligently will find me. I'm thinking there's always just been a remnant of Christianity, of Christians that have really just loved the Lord and sought him diligently, and they found him. I think the rest were just along for the ride. They were Christian by name because they were by association. Not that I'm just calling them all reprobate, but, you know, they're about as strong as the Christianity we got today for churches. But they didn't have that many people probably out really seeking the Lord and, you know, loving him and running after him like the bride. I don't think the bride has really ever really been in the whole church. It's just been a remnant. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah, but you see, these people are trapped too, you know, like, we're praying for the apostate church, you know, and well, you know, sometimes you think it's just about those people who are believing in pre-tribulation rapture, but there are people out there who don't know even about the pre-trib, you know, so that's just sort of what I'm looking at now too. Like, I'm not trying to look at it as a downer, but it's just a deception and just who should you really be thinking of when you're praying too? Because, you know, God can do anything. He can take one of those staunch people in the Middle East that belong to one of those churches there and change them around.
Amen. All right, anybody else? Hey, George, what do you think, buddy? He's out feeding the dogs.
He's probably shoveling snow still.
It could be up there in Maine. Leon, did you have any thoughts on that?
On which? What well, Debbie was saying about ministry.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have much family left, so I don't have to do much ministering. They're all churchgoers and stuff like that. So I try to wing them in a book or something every once in a while when I can. I don't know though.
Yeah. Well, a book's a good thing because they're going to go looking when time comes.
Yeah. Well, you know, I go down for my brother's birthday, and it's also my cousin's birthday. It's a female cousin. And then it's my uncle's birthday as well. They're all right there in about 5-day period. So I gave them all books for their birthday presents. So I don't even know if anybody read them or not. But
I've done the same thing, and I told them, I said, if you don't read it, put it up somewhere where you can get a hold of it.
Yeah.
If you need to.
Yeah.
That's boldness. I mean,
what's that? Yeah.
I said, that's boldness. I mean, I only take things so far, really, but you got to at least give them. So you gave them something. There you go.
Well, my brother believes in the not the pre-trib rap. He doesn't believe in that. But my aunts and uncles and all my cousins believe in the pre-trib rapture. So it's hard to get through to them. And at any rate, but I always tell them, if you can show me a verse in the entire Bible that says a pre-trib rapture, I'll believe you, but there isn't one. So, and that won't go any further than that.
Yeah. I've tried to, I've told them before, on the pre-trib rapture, I don't have any family that even, like I'm, mine, Leon, my siblings are all nominal Christians at best. They don't really know about a rapture, you know. So I don't have that problem. But with somebody that believes in that pre-tribulation rapture, you're exactly right. I said, I tell you what, I can prove that it's post-trib, but you have to show me that it's pre-trib also. And when you do that, you get them stumped. They don't know what to say because they don't even know. All they've heard, they've read the books, okay? The Left Behind books, they've read that. They've seen the movies, all of those kind of things, and they know that they're going to go out of here. But when you get them to prove it, that's just like Tim LaHaye when, what's the guy's name on the Prophecy Club? When the guy on the Stan Johnson, when Stan told Tim LaHaye he wanted to get up a debate between him and David. It was okay until Stan sent him the book, the man-child book, you know, the part about the it's finished, that part of chapter 3. He didn't want to have nothing to do with it.
Right.
They told him he'd give him $10,000, and he backed out of it. So that's right. The pre-trib, mid-trib cannot be proven, but we can prove the post-trib. And that's why it's I don't even know if that's even necessary when the shaking comes, because they're going to realize that's a pre-trib. Pre-trib rapture did not take place, you know. Yeah, Joe.
Well, I got a little inside at least, and you know, for those who do have family who believe in a pre-trib or just something to pray against, a lot of those people hold to that out of fear, you know, just like the once saved, always saved, you know, they're afraid. I mean, it's safer, or I guess it's more convenient to believe that we're not going to be here during the tribulation, because that's a fearful thing if you're not ready, you know, if you don't know God, you know, like the Bible teaches them. I mean, and of course, a lot of these churches, they teach. I mean, well, they teach bits and pieces, like the, you know, Baptist church. But, yeah, they don't really teach who God is. So I guess it's out of fear, like, oh, yeah, we're not going to be here, you know, because that's a scary time for 7 years. You know, and some of the things they say, so I think it's just to kind of work against is when you pray for them, pray against the fear, you know, just of facing the tribulation. Because, you know, a lot of them, I mean, and I think that was one for me. You know, I was afraid of the idea. Oh my goodness, we're going to go through the tribulation. Oh no. You know, so I guess it was a lot more relaxing. You know, and I mean, you know, of course, for the flesh, you know, to say, oh, okay, yeah, we're not going to be here. I don't have to worry about all that stuff. So you know, I'm okay. But yeah, it's just, I mean, out of fear, it's like, you know, a lot of times it is to believe those things, because I mean, it makes you feel better. It makes you justify, you know, just kind of like those things. But I mean, the approach calms you down. Yeah, I mean, it's dangerous, of course, you know, because when that time comes, it's just going to, I mean, once all hell finally breaks loose and they're just like, what am I still doing here? You know, yeah, that'll blow that doctrine right out of the water. But yeah, I think a lot of times it's that they're afraid to face those things. But yeah, when the time comes, they're going to be forced to. So, yeah.
Amen. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hands or anything, but how many of you can defend from the scriptures the post-tribulation rapture? You know, that's something you need to think about. No use in even talking to anybody about it if you can't defend it through the scriptures. And what I always did, I enjoyed reading about end time stuff anyway. But you might ought to get up to that, you know, before the tribulation starts. Some of them probably don't even know when the tribulation starts. How many of you know when the tribulation starts? Okay, there's one. There's two. What date?
I don't think it's a day.
Okay. That was good. Yeah, Leon knows.
Revealed.
Megan knows. Amen. Well, that's good. Good night, Joe. Have a good day tomorrow. Bless you, brother.
Nice to see you, Joel. Love you, man.
All right, good night, everybody.
But what I was alluding to, don't ever get into an argument with somebody about doctrine if you don't know it yourself. That's silly, you know. You could tell them and say, look, I'm going to have to do with you, but I know this happens or something like that. We'll both look at it and see how to do it. And you go get one of them books, come back out, and go through. Okay, anybody else?
I've taken and printed the last chapter 3 a couple times for a couple of guys out of Hidden Manna, just let them read it. I figured, you know, rather than me try to explain it, I know David does such a good job. I just printed it, said, here, I mean, I can tell you with all this, but this guy's going to take you through it. And he'll take you through without any mistakes. that gets you through the scriptures. They'll make you see things that you normally wouldn't see. I says, you got questions afterwards, we can talk. But I guarantee you, this chapter will answer all your questions about when we go.
Yep.
And it's very thorough. I thought, why do I want to try to reinvent the wheel? Well, this guy, David, does such a good job. Here, it's a few pages, I can print it. You know?
Yeah, he does. He does a good job. And I use the same thing. I've got most of those scriptures up here, and I know them, so.
If you've got somebody in your family that's just pre-trib, I mean, at least they're, you know, maybe they're still on fire for the Lord. I got to tell you, I got a brother that would say, there's the back door tribulation. In other words, there's the back door. Don't let you hit on the way out. That's kind of, that's as far as I would go with my brother. He's just got anger, mad anger. Just on fire, mad at me just because of my Christianity. And it's like, that's because he's on the left side and he's got that demon. He's got that factious thing going. I couldn't even come near him with anything with the Bible or the Lord. It would just, it would be like turning the fire on and watching him smoke. He would just, he wouldn't have anything to do with it. He hadn't wanted anything to do with me now. It's just so, he's so eaten up to the Lord. I just pray about it. That's all he was praying. I mean, with his.
So he's not a Christian.
Oh, you know what? He might have been at one time, but something's got in him. And I just know I had a lot of demons, and I know part of it's rejection from my dad, you know, the rejection spirit he got when we grew up. And he's really out there. He's mad, angry, mad person. So, and he owns a bar. That don't help. He's going to be in that environment. So, yeah. Last time I saw him, all I said was, Mark, after he got done spewing his mad and hate at me, I said, Mark, all I can, I said, you know, I said, and I wasn't trying to say it directly to him, but I knew he knew what I was talking about. I said, bitter, unforgiving people will not be in heaven. Whoa, that's above my pay grade. You know, he says that, and then he was, but I got to tell you, I just judge what I see. That's what I'm telling you. Okay. You know, that's where it went. And that was at my son's wedding. He was just angry. Angry. So, and just out of nowhere. But that's that spirit. That's that factious spirit. It'll just attack. And I was just being calm as I could. So.
Well, those type of people like that, you just put them on the altar of God and let God deal with them.
Yeah, know? That's all I can do. That's it. That's
You let God deal with them. God does a whole lot better job than we do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't go
any farther than that. Yeah, you could be free of your brother. Say, Lord, I'm going to put Mark right there on that altar. He's up to you. I'm praying for him, for his salvation, and I'm thanking you, you're going to do it. I'm going to trust you, you're going to get him through.
I'm believing for it. I know the Lord's going to bring him through the knot hole. But we all had to go through that.
Whatever it takes, as long as he makes it.
So, anyways, if you could talk some kind of Christianity, I know you talk about your old brother, won't talk to you about it at all, Michael, but. If you got anything on the table you can talk about, at least that's something. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Marilyn.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting talking about, you know, family and how do you talk to them and everything. And, you know, the Lord brought us out of Houston where all of our family is 21 years ago. And we told people that we were leaving because the Lord told us to sell our house and that he was going to move us. So they just all think that we're nuts. You know, we're the religious kooks and weirdos in religion and religious. But so they, you know, they're ones that we pray for. They know that we pray. They're you know, everybody's on speaking terms with us, but they don't think much of us because we're not into making a bunch of money and retiring and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, I have an older sister that is in the Methodist Church, and she's, you know, we grew up in the church, and then she got married and she became a Methodist, and so she's always been in the church, but she's not filled with the Holy Spirit. And she teaches Sunday school and sings in the choir, and her husband's an elder in the church. But anyway, last night I fell asleep and had just a real quick dream, which I won't go into the dream, but basically the interpretation of it was the Lord showed me that my sister had unforgiveness. She had unforgiveness towards both my parents. She had unforgiveness towards me, jealousy towards me. And the Lord was just putting on my heart that these are just things to pray about. And I was thinking about what you said, David, about your brother. And so it's just something that we see these things in them. And I felt like the Lord told me when I had that dream, when I was waking up from that dream, that that is a big reason that the judgment is coming on the apostate church, is because of the bitterness, the resentment, and the unforgiveness. They don't know the truth. They don't know the word. They don't know the power of God. They're bitter, resentful, unforgiving. But we can pray to bind up these strongholds and retain the Holy Spirit to move upon them with repentance and to enlighten the eyes of their understanding and to really come into a relationship with the Lord. My poor sister that goes to church all the time, it's just like it's one disaster after another. You know, oh, we got hit and told our car coming home from church. Oh, our air conditioner went out. Oh, we just had to have all the plumbing replaced in our home. You know, it's just always one thing after another, and they don't see any of it as chastening or from the Lord. It just never enters, you know, their mind. But we can pray for them, and the Lord hears our prayers. And, you know, whether he ever allows me to speak to my siblings or not, if he, you know, if he opens the door, the Holy Spirit will speak. But if not, he can put somebody else in their path that they may be able to listen to. And so anyway, it's just, it has really been on my heart, real conviction of my heart, to be praying for the apostate church. And boy, that's really how I was praying today, not only for my sister, and but just for the church in general, that that's a big reason that judgment is coming. They're unforgiving. And they don't realize that if they don't forgive, they're not forgiven. And if they're not forgiven, they're not saved. So anyway, that's all.
Yeah, that's a big one there. That's something that has to be done. That's why
I don't think they know God. That's the problem. They don't fear God. They've been taught a lie, and they're thinking, well, it's A-okay. I just come and confess my sins, but I just won't think about what really bothers me about somebody else, because I'm mad at that person, but I'll let that go for now. I'll just get right with God about this, and someday I'll work that out. They don't take in consideration that God's not hearing their prayer. They don't understand that. They just, their pastor, they aren't being told, hey, listen, you know, I, it's over. You're done. You're out of the kingdom. You don't forgive, you're not forgiven, you're done. It's over. Goodbye. You might as well write yourself off. You know, you're not even part of the not part of the church. He's not, they're not saying that. They're pacifying it. They're, as long as they got those ties coming in, they're not going to kick anybody out. They certainly don't want to offend anybody. That's why we know this correction's got to come, and these leaders are going to be shown the false leaders that they are, and the church are going to be shown how reprobate they are and how miserable, blind, and naked they are. And the Lord's going to do this by grace. He's really great. You know, we got a great God. He loves us. He loves all. He even loves those people that have a problem not knowing the truth about this. And he's going to come in and make, show them who he is. He's going to give them that opportunity. I know that because of us, with our prayers. But, and that's part of the apostates we're playing for, isn't it? And I just know that to be true. He's at least going to get everybody an opportunity to know, this is not my way. This is who I am. Believe what the scriptures say. I don't change. You know, don't believe anybody else. Come to find out who I am by what I say I am in the Word, and go with that. You know, absolutely. Thank you, Father.
I got a little question, a little question. This question is this: what's going to change their minds when the shaking starts? The Word tells us what's going to happen. What does the Word say about these apostate preachers? The hired ones. And they're all hired ones. They're going to cut and run, aren't they? Because they ain't going to know what to do. They sure don't know what. They're going to get the tithing bucket and take off. That's what they're going to do. And then the people's going to say, well, where'd he go? What pasture? Where'd our loving pasture go? And where's all the money? And then they're going to find out he didn't know anything. Then they're going to search out the truth. There'll be some that want to take over, but the true people of God, the chosen people of God, are going to search the truth out. Praise God. I believe that. All right. Anybody else got a comment? George, I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
Wonder if he's asleep.
Well, I think he's wrestling them dogs.
Could be polar bear. You got polar bear where you're at, don't you, Andrew?
Got what?
Polar bear.
Polar bear. He's going to show you one. He got one in the backyard.
I think he's like 6'4". Oh, yeah.
No, he got one on the shelf. Look at there. Got a hole in his back. Amen. Okay.
That's one of those gifts you get for being a daddy, you see. There's a polar bear on it. A polar bear, you know. It's a pup.
Is that a perfect gift for a Canadian?
Yeah, I guess so, you know.
Well, if it comes from one of your kids, it is.
I was actually told, like, there's a guy at work, he's going north because he's a singer. And the government's letting them mutt there. And the people in the north, they don't like the polar bears at all. Like, they're not environmental to them, you know. Like, you got a polar bear coming after you because you're just going across the street to go visit someone. You don't like polar bears. They sneak up on you, they say. Anyway.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. They're,
well, that's why we got them.
At all. They're not afraid at all. They'll eat you before you can say anything.
Well, that's why we don't have them in Arkansas. Yeah. We kill them out and eat them.
Well, the ice is melting, eh? So they got to find something else to eat. So I told this guy who's going up there, you know, you better watch it. They call it from the south to save the species, you know. Anyway.
That's pretty rough to have to worry about polar bears going down the street, walking down the street, for goodness sake. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Debbie.
Yeah, I was going to say that I think that our families, I think, are most dear to our hearts as far as wanting to share with and get to hear the truth, because we're getting revelations. We want them to have it too. But, you know, it's also, yeah, for others out there. And so I was just reading Philippians 2, 14, 15, and 16. And so if we do share even the littlest thing, as the Lord leads us to share it, and then have the evidence of Jesus in our lives, that's going to help speak volumes. And this is Philippians 2:14, do all things without grumbling or disputing. And I know Christians, that's all they do is grumble and dispute. My family, and oh, it's terrible. So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. So he wants us to hold it fast, so that in the day of Christ, I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain or toil in vain. Just our Christian life, our living, being as Jesus, being a light, that's going to speak a lot. They're going to remember you then too when things are going on. Remember the little things little nuggets you've given them here and there, and then your life will come to their mind, and I need to talk to that person. And so I think that's how God's going to work too. Very important that it's our life that speaks. We want to share sometimes and say the right words and convince them and hope they'll walk away really thinking, but I think it's our life that really speaks the loudest. Help them listen to what we say. Yeah. My thoughts.
Okay. Yep. All right. Kind of wind it down. Has anybody else got anything? Well, it's been an interesting evening. I'm glad you brought that question up. That's something we all need to be cognizant of in the days ahead, is what you are going to say to people you've been praying for. I've got a number of old friends that I pray for that I know God's going to do something with them before they leave this world. Because I'm believing. And I'm looking for that. Now, they're about as far away from Christ as you can be and still call yourself a human. But I know that God's going to do something in their life before they die.
I almost think sometimes, too, that some of these people that we have in mind and the church at large, they have to be far enough out in error that when they finally see the truth, they have something to repent about, and they're really sincere in repentance and coming to the Lord. So they need to have this this veil they're in right now. They need that veil. So when it's taken away, it's going to give them that their eyes are going to be open, and then they're going to realize, oh, my gosh, I didn't realize, I didn't know. And they're going to be, that's going to make them want to run and drive to the Lord. God has to give them that hardness so that when he removes it, they actually have a, they're going to have a sincere heart to repent. They're not going to think, well, I was only a little far off, I'm not so bad. Then they realize, wow, there was a big log in front of my eye, and I'm sure glad somebody removed it because now I can see clearly. They're going to need that in their life. So they need to have this. Like Paul, he needed to see, like, whoa, where was I at? Whoa. My gosh, he had to have that few days to sit back and just take it all in and realize how bad it really was, how bad he was, and where, how far off he was to drive him to the Lord. You know, he had to be that far off in order to realize I needed to repent to find this truth. And I needed the Lord this in my life to do it both ways. Otherwise, I would have been lukewarm the whole time. Even if I knew some of the truth and not some of the truth, I would have felt I'm okay. But he had to be that far off, a light and day difference, to know that that's how far off I was. I was on the wrong road completely. And I think that's part of the reason why we see the great apostasy the way it is. People have to know that they were really off track when they finally get to see the light and realize, oh, wow, I'm glad I got turned around. Otherwise, it would have been curtains.
Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I guess we'll pray. Well, Father, I thank you for answering our prayers tonight. I thank you, Lord, that Missy is healed. I thank you, Lord, that Natasha is healed. Anybody else that we prayed for is healed tonight, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that everybody's going to get a good night's sleep tonight, Father. Not only that, Lord, I ask and I pray that you give us dreams about the times ahead so that we know these things, Lord. The ones that do get these dreams, Lord, I ask you to place it in their hearts to write them down, and then we'll talk about it. Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, get us all ready. Have us always vigilant and diligent in our prayer time to pray for the church. And Lord, and the man child and the bride. And Father, we just praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, for the things that you brought out tonight. Hopefully, Lord, it'll help people and get them ready for the days ahead. And we just praise you, Father. You know, Lord, there's not enough praise for you. It seems like sometimes, and we just need sometimes to just stop and just start praising you, because you're worthy of our praises, Lord. You've always been worthy of our praises. We praise you because we're sick, because we thank you. You've given us faith to believe that we don't have to stay under this stuff. We praise you because of our loved ones that are going to come into the kingdom because of our prayers. We praise you. We need to praise you for all of these things that we're asking for and all the promises you've been giving us, Lord. We need to praise you for that. We need to praise you for everything. You know, we here a while back, we talked about, I forget the guy's name, that learned, it was a chaplain, that learned how to praise you for everything and saw the immediate results. And Father, that's what we do. We just praise you for these things we've prayed about, because we know it's going to happen. We praise you for our relatives that we've prayed for and our friends we've prayed for that's going to be brought into the kingdom. Thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the healings. We thank you, Lord, for the provisions. We thank you, Lord, for the protection. And we praise you, Father, for all the things that you're doing in our lives, too. Lord, it's a good thing. It's always a good thing when you're involved in it and you're leading us and you're guiding us and correcting us and encouraging us. And Lord, thank you so much for that. Thank you, Father, for that. And Lord, we ask and we pray that tonight will be a blessing to the greater outreach out there. In Jesus' name. And Lord, thank you for being with us and leading us tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless y'all.